Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Brother Dante Gaines from Baltimore Learn, and you're listening to Online Bible Study Preview of Jewish Customs and Traditions. Today's discussion will be, this week's lesson topic will be Jewish Customs and Traditions, Holy Days of Israel. We will continue our lesson discussion on Holy Days of Israel by Rabbi Yoshir Eckstein. The meaning of Yom Kippur will be presented by Elder Drexel Green Brown. I'm Brother Dante Gaines. We'll be sharing about traditional and Orthodox Jews and rabbis, the significance of their garments and physical appearance. Click on the play tab only to listen to the live program or the recorded broadcast as of the scheduled airtime. Be sure to click the follow tab on the Freshman and Blog Talk Radio program to be alerted for future programs. Elder Justin Green Brown and Apostle Brother Williams are on Facebook and Google Plus. Send your questions or comments to our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/forfreshmanner. Here's one of our speakers for today, Elder Justin Green Brown.
Good morning, everyone. And today we're going to be talking about Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur is the final act that comes behind Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. It's the last chance of the year to atone for your sins and to get right before God. It's the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, or as described in the Torah, the Sabbath of Sabbaths. At the end of Yom Kippur, the Jews believe that God closes the book of life on our fate and judgment for the year to come. And therefore, our greeting during the day should be Gemar Shmor Tovah, and that means, or may you be sealed in God's book of life for good. And it reflects our hope for the new year. Yom Kippur is a Jewish holiday, and it fulfills the biblical commandment to deny ourselves from fasting from food and water. It's an engaging and intense soul-searching and prayer for forgiveness. It occurs from the evening of the holiday until the sundown of the following day, except for the few hours when we go home to sleep. The Jews are in the synagogue, beseeching God for forgiveness and reflecting upon the course of their lives. It's almost like a spring cleaning for the soul. It's also a day of inner purification and reconciliation with God. In Judaism, they believe in repenting, fasting, and praying, and atoning for only those sins between man and God. And those sins that were committed against our fellow men requires that the Jew seeks forgiveness personally from them and for those that have offended as well as from God. Therefore, this is a day that many humble themselves with healing conversations. Now, as I said before, the Jews fast on Yom Kippur, and this will help to clean them out spiritually and naturally. It's a reminder of how our human existence is frail and that we have the duty to act charitably toward the less fortunate. And it also says that the inspiring yet sobering words of Isaiah 58 are read publicly in the synagogue on Yom Kippur to reveal the true meaning of the Yom Kippur fast. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. And that's in Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 7. Now you ask, what does it mean to truly deny yourself? It means to forego your favorite dessert, turning off the television one night a week, and even spending time with your family and friends. It may also mean to sacrifice that extra hour of sleep so that you can spend time in God's Word. Denying ourselves can be as minor as such as giving up that piece of chocolate cake or turning down a job promotion so we can be more involved in promotion. In ministry, self-denial is also a key element in the observance of Yom Kippur. In fact, God demands that we must deny ourselves during this time. Not only do we cease from all work on Yom Kippur, but we also honor God's command to deny ourselves by fasting, soul searching, and praying. Fasting is not seen as an end in itself, but rather as a prompt for us to focus on spiritual matters. So we are reminded that during this time what the true meaning of the fast is. The words of the prophet Isaiah that I just read to you from 58, 6 through 7 are read during the Yom Kippur service to help us focus on that meaning. So we need to remember to do things to be kind to one another. When you see your fellow man hungry, feed them. If they need clothing, give them clothing. If they need shelter, give them shelter. That's what the true fast is about. It's not thinking about ourselves, but thinking about what we can do towards our fellow mankind. And these are the things that pleases God. It's a time to purify ourselves. And it's also, we're going to come from the scriptures, Numbers 19 to 12. And it says that they must purify themselves with the water on the third day, and on the seventh day, then they will be clean. So we know that using water, even when we bathe ourselves, we're purifying ourselves, we're cleaning ourselves. And that the mikvah offers the individual, the community, and the nation of Israel the remarkable gift of purity and holiness. On Yom Kippur, the high priest was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies, the most innermost chamber of the temple. This was the zenith of the day that involves a series of services and rituals, all of which were preceded by immersion in a mikvah. So here we find that we're doing different things on Yom Kippur, but it's mostly a time of fasting, of praying, repenting to God for our past sins, and getting ourselves right before God and helping our fellow men. It's most important that we have our physical as well as our spiritual appearance purified. Sounds familiar? It's almost like when we get baptized. When we get immersed in the water, we come out clean, purified, signified, and ready through the Holy Spirit of God. And at this time, I'm going to pass it over to Brother Dante so that he can give you the significance between a traditional Jew and an Orthodox Jew. Amen.
Amen. First of all these differences. Jewish religion clothing has been influenced by the Bible commandments and Mosaic requirements. You know, contemporary style of clothing is worn in many societies in which the Jews have lived. And like Judaism, clothes are also a vehicle for religious ritual. Like many Jewish men, they wear turbans, tunics, cloaks, and sandals. For Orthodox Jews, the tallit is a Jewish prayer shawl worn while reciting morning prayers, as well as in the synagogue on Sabbath and holidays. The tallit has a special twin and knotted fringes known as tzitzit attached to its four corners. It's also sometimes referred to as arba kanfot, meaning literally four corners. Although the term is more commonly for a tallit katan, an undercommon with tzitzit. According to the biblical commandment, a blue thread known as tehillah is supposed to be included in the tzitzit, in which tzitzit are fringes or tassels worn by observant Jews on the corner of four corner garments, including tallit, which is the prayer shawl. They are considered by Orthodox tradition to be a time-bound commandment. They are only worn by men, and conservative Judaism garments, which is worn by women, are exempt from wearing tzitzit, but it's not prohibited. Jewish men are buried in the city as far as a burial garment. Now, kippah or yarmulke is also called a capul or skull cap, which is a thin, rounded skull cap traditionally worn at altars for Orthodox Jewish men, and sometimes both men and women in conservative and reformed communities. The use is associated with demonstrating respect and reverence for God. Now, for a traditional Jew, all right, let me talk about the term Orthodox. the term orthodox implies observant, and there's a vast difference between observant and being religious. They are not necessarily one and the same. The orthodox view or outwardly carries himself as someone who follows the Torah, the written law passed down from Moses at Sinai. Yet often people who publicly appear orthodox will act in any manner contrary to religious doctrine. Hence, all orthodox views are not religious. In other words, orthodox and religious shouldn't be used interchangeably. So, let me talk about a traditional Jew and what they wear. So, a traditional Jew would be usually dressed in a black shirt, black pants, black shoes, and a tall hat with the curls on the side. And traditional Jews were more likely to follow the law, you know, worry about what Moses had wrote. So that's mostly some of the difference
between an Orthodox and a traditional Jew. Also, an Orthodox Jew, in many traditional Jews, they wear suits and are resembling to like the Polish nobility, which wore in the 18th century, which is actually where, you know, it's also called a Jew Judaism, and that's where it began. And that's this, okay, I got called back again.
You got caught off.
Yeah.
I was wondering what happened.
This is number 30.
The mine cut off too. Orthodox Jews.
Okay. Sorry about that. They're disconnected. As I was saying, some traditional Jews, which also was called the Day Judaism, it began in the 18th century. And most traditional Jews, or Jewish men, really, they wear blacks, they wear suits, which is a reminiscent of the Polish, you know, Polish nobility, which was worn in the 18th century. And most traditional Orthodox Jews wore that, but mostly Orthodox Jews men wore coverings of a kippah, which they wore black hats with the trim tail, which is a type of fur hat they wear. Even those of you like they like almost Russian men wear, but that's what they wear, and that's just some of the differences between a traditional and an Orthodox Jew. And now, I'm going to pass back over to Elder Juxer Green Brown. Amen.
I'll mute my mic. So as you can see, it's very interesting as we're learning about these Jewish holidays and customs that they wore different things and that they have different meanings toward what we wear as Christians. We hope that you will join us on tonight for our Bible study lesson on Jewish customs and traditions that which directly correlates with us today. We hope you join us tonight at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the number to call is 712-775-7031. And the access code is 206-594-156 pound. So I hope that you have learned something today about Yom Kippur, that you'll take an overview of your own life to see what it is and what areas you need to make changes in, and that you'll think about the significance of fasting. Here at Oasis, we fast on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we ask that you fast for a minimum of 3 to 6 hours. So that means you have to give up that favorite TV program that you want to watch, give up that piece of cake that you want to eat, or that big breakfast you were about to devour, to spend some quality time with God alone, where you can hear from Him, where you can cleanse yourself both spiritually and naturally, and you can take an access of the things that you need to do differently in your life. What are you doing for yourself? What are you doing for God? And what are we doing for others that surround us? Are we checking on our neighbors? Or are we just thinking about ourselves? So this holiday has a significance for us to take an inventory of our lives to make sure not only we are serving ourselves, but we are serving others as mandated by God, because He told us that we are supposed to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So I hope that you will join us on tonight as we learn more about the holiday and what it means and the traditions and the customs, as well as the significance of what they wear, what the attire means, what the women can wear, what the men can't wear. There's a lot of difference from what we do as Christian men and women in the church. So I just want to thank you for taking the time out, and I want you to think about what you have heard and research for your own self. Google it or go get a book on Jewish traditions and customs. This book that we're reading out of is called Holy Days of Israel, and it's by Rabbi Yukel Eckstein, and it's a very good book to pick up. You can check at your local library or look online for the book. It's important that we know about these Jewish holidays because the Jews are God's chosen people. So we need to know about where we come from and about Bible history. It's a very good thing to know where you came from and where you are going. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Again, we hope you have learned much on today. We hope you learned much on today about what the traditional and Orthodox Jews and rabbis, the garments of physical parents mean. We hope you have enjoyed what the Yom Kippur means. And, you know, research for yourself. Just Google it. See if you can, get some information. Or even if you want to go to further deepen your relationship, if you can find a local synagogue around your local area, or know of some local synagogues that be open, or sometimes you can actually catch a traditional Orthodox Jew. Just what I'm especially the men, so they mostly deal towards men, and men will have to go up there and say, I will have, want to learn more about the Jewish tradition, the Jewish customs and traditions. And that's the way they can go up there, take some piece of paper, take some notes for further research. You can also Google it, check your local library about Jewish traditions and customs, get a book on it, like the book we were reading from, but the Holy Days of Israel by Rabbi Yaakov Eckstein, and that has a lot of meanings for Yom Kippur and the Holy Day of Israel, because the children of Israel was God's chosen people, and we were adopted as God's people. We were His special people, and I just thank God for that. And I'm going to ask Elder Joseph Green Brown, has any remarks that you would like to share at this time?
Amen. And we also know that during this time that the power of words can be very useful. So we have to be careful about the things that we say. Now, you know, when we were children, we remember the song, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." as adults, I really think that we can agree that that is not true at all. Words do hurt us. And so Proverbs gives us much attention to the use of our words. The godly person will use words that are helpful, that bring healing, that bring encouragement, and they know exactly the right thing to say at the right time. And all of this is important during the high holy days, that we use words that edify and build up the kingdom of God. So we don't want to say things that are hurtful and destructive and things that will crush our spirits, because our words will destroy, crush, and pierce, or they can heal, or they can encourage, or they can help. And as a people of faith, with Jews and Christians alike, we need to know how to use our words so that we reflect the one that we serve. Amen. And who can dwell in God's sacred tent? The one who uses his or her words carefully, thoughtfully, truthfully, and with integrity. And when we do things, we have to repent of the things that we do. Be truly sorrowful, truly remorseful for the things that we do. And in Jewish tradition and teaching, it involves turning away from evil things and returning to God and to our true and pure selves. And it's also a time where the rabbis insist that the teshuvah or repentance is an act of will that we are all capable of asserting, no matter how caught in sin we are. So we can always turn to God. So I don't want you to think for 1 minute, I've done too much, I've done too wrong. When we repent and we're truly sorrowful, God is faithful and he will forgive us, the Jew and the Christian alike. Amen? And so, you know, we learned a lot on today, and a lot of what the Jews teach from came from the Torah during Moses' time. And so the more we read the story of God and the plan for our lives, the more truths will get planted in our hearts and we'll be more capable of turning from our desires to his. And I pray once again that you'll join us on this evening for an eventful night as we learn more about Jewish customs and traditions. I promise you this will be a lesson that you won't soon forget, and you'll be able to use this knowledge, because God will not desire that we not be ignorant, that we know what we need to know about what the word says, because it's available to us, and we need to take advantage of this information while we yet still have time. In Jesus' name, God gives us the ability and desire to forgive, and he is an amazing God. So let's make the difference today and celebrate and accept these wondrous gifts at Yom Kippur. Amen?
Amen. And just for further information, when they was talking about the Torah, if you don't know what the Torah is the first five books of the Bible, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And we just hope that you've learned more and enjoyed the program on today. And may the children of God be blessed. Amen.